I'm not as skinny as the guy that's usually up here. Observation number one. About a year and a half ago, I was scheduled to be up here and preach. And I had a gallbladder attack and wasn't able to on a Friday. So at the last minute, or so I thought the last minute, I said, "Hey, Ken, can you pinch hit?" Because he was available. And he did preach that Sunday as I stayed in the hospital and awaited gallbladder surgery. Then I got to thinking about today as I walked in the door, saying, "Hey, could you pinch hit?" And I thought, sure, what are the song lists for today? And so I figured that would be a good thing instead of going off this way when the songs are going that way. 45, 50 minutes, we'll see what God does. And to be quite honest with you, I'm pretty darn excited about what God has given me to share with you. So then I got to thinking about Pastor Craig and how he was sitting already during the worship just before, I don't know where he was, Haiti or somewhere, for a pastor's conference or something. And they suddenly said, "We want you to come up and preach." And he had absolutely no warning. So I can't complain about 45 minutes, I guess. So what we're going to do this morning is, first of all, I just want to take a quick gander at James. And you'll know why immediately. We were supposed to be in James chapter 5, verse 13. And if you read it, it says, "Is any among you suffering?" Check. Yes. "Let him pray." "Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises." Check. "Is any among you sick?" Check. "Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord." So, I think it only fitting that we pray for four of our members this morning before I get into the actual message. But before I do that, where'd she go? Where'd Deb go? I don't see her. Oh, there you are. Okay, you're in the same place you were when I looked back earlier. Do you want to give a brief update? I always say brief before I have you speak. I'm sorry. And you can share from there. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to have the elders pray for different people here. So, but you dropped him off. You don't have to. If you want to come up, you can. You don't have to. If you're coming up, then I'll give you the microphone though.
Morning. Pastor Craig and I go way back, so I'm kind of like his second mom. I'm a lot taller than his mother. And so I walked in the door, of course, everything's orchestrated. And Craig said, "Do you have a mint in your purse?" And I said, "No, my daughter stole all my mints." And so I headed back to the nursery because Doug and I had nursery duty during Sunday school this morning. And so I don't know why. I kind of followed him back into his office to say, "What's your favorite mints? I'll stock those," because I don't know. I figured that would be a nice thing
to
do. I'm nice. And so when I got back there, he was laying on the floor writhing back and forth. And I said, "Oh, what's wrong?" And he said, "I have a kidney stone. That's probably why I didn't sleep all night. Emily's out of town." And I said, "You're going to the hospital." And so I didn't ask any questions after that. He's like, "Oh, it'll pass. It'll pass." And there was some members over here dispersing drugs to him. And so we were trying to give him some Tylenol. And, of course, you know, that's going to take 45 minutes. And he's like, "It'll pass." And I'm like, "I'm not listening to you. And I'm taking over." I'm kind of bossy like that. And this is a spiritual gift. And so I said, I'm taking you to the emergency room. And so he couldn't really say no at that point in time, respond, right? So, Doug,
get up before and walk, is that what you said?
Well, so Doug grabbed my keys and I just said, "I'm going to pull up and take you." And he was obviously in a lot of pain. Those of you that have ever experienced kidney stones probably know what it feels like. And so if you haven't, you probably don't, but just, I think it's stabbing. He was really at the top of the charts. So I just loaded him up. We drove and we just prayed the whole time. He goes, and he's like, "Oh, it's so funny what I was going to preach about this morning. It's the elders are needing to anoint some oil." And I said, "I can sprinkle some water on you if you want me to right now." I mean, we both had our water bottles right there. And so we just prayed and just spoke the name of Jesus and just continued to ask for peace and presence of mind, and just to keep breathing, really. And so I turned on the radio just because I thought, you know, the Lord's word is present through his music, through Christian music. By the way, Doug, I was in heaven this morning with those songs. And so, just so you know, Mike has given me the microphone. That was awesome. So we turned the music on this morning.
What did I say, briefly? Yeah.
And we were just singing. Craig began to sing a little bit. We just began to speak the name of Jesus and healing and power over him. And then I was just like, Lord, before we get there, would you prepare the place? So we walked in the emergency room. There was not one person sitting in there. And those of you that have been in and out of ERs know that's a huge blessing. And so we took him right up to the counter, and they had a wheelchair right behind him. Like, immediately they had seen him coming. And so he was back in a room, I bet you, from the minute we pulled up till the time that we got there, within 3 minutes. And so they were able to start the pain meds, which we actually had been praying about as we were driving. Lord, thank you for pain medication, because it's anointed. And so he was able to get some pain meds and begin to get some relief. And so we contacted his mom and Emily. And so his mom got there, and the ER doc had just come in. And so the timing of everything had been just God's swift speed. And so he was able to, he was talking by then and able to feel the effects and of the pain meds. And I know he was praising God for that. And so he was saying to the nurse, he said, yeah, if you just want to hook up FaceTime, and I'll just let, you know, I could just preach from the screen. And so the nurse is saying, in about 2 minutes, you're not going to feel that way. And so, I said, you know, Craig, you can, we can handle this. We're, you know, equipped over here with the word of God. And so his mom got there, and the ER doctor arrived. And so before I left, they were able to rule out that there was any mass or anything, that it was due to the pain from the kidney stone. So we should probably get an update here pretty soon. So I know he would, I said, my son is a little older than Craig. And so I said, you know what, Cody, we're going. I don't care what you say. So God is good, and he's with us, presence, even in the midst of pain. And I said, I think I remember you teaching through James something about being patient in affliction. That might come back to haunt me someday with him, but we'll see. So,
great. I've asked Doug to pray for him, and we're going to move over here because we're getting feedback.
Just bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. And Lord, we just want to thank you, first of all, for the support of the congregation here at Grace, not only with Craig, but all those that are struggling right now with different physical ailments and sickness. We just give Craig and the situation at the hospital to you, that you give the medical staff there great wisdom and bedside manner, and that they're able to treat him, and that he has a quick recovery and is able to go home later today and recover at home in familiar and comfortable surroundings. We thank you for those here that are able to step up at the last minute and actually put a sermon together in about 45 minutes. And we just look to you for your guidance and wisdom, not only when others in the congregation are taken ill or have physical issues that they need help with, and that this congregation supports not only Craig and Emily, but anyone here that needs help at any point in time. And we just ask all this in your name. Amen.
As soon as I walked in the door, I was told that you know, asked if I wanted to pinch hit, and I said, well, and then they said that Craig was going to the ER, and I said, I don't know if I want to be on that stage, because last week Ken was on the stage, and as soon as he got done with the message, as you saw in the email, he ended up going to the ER, and he, I guess, liked morphine, so it might be a theme for today. But I've asked Jeff to be praying for him, because he's in the process of having more tests. So, Jeff, would you pray for Ken? This week, I received a request yet this morning. Scotty's been experiencing some pain as well, and has some tests tomorrow morning, and so I've asked Dick Wooten if he'd pray for him. Also, Cheryl Jones has had a pretty rough week, just having some different health issues because of the cancer that she's been struggling with, and so I've asked Bill if he would pray for her.
Father in heaven, we lift up our sister Cheryl to you, as well as Mary, her husband. She is suffering from cancer and difficulties increasing. We ask, Lord, that you would be with them, be with her, bring a healing hand on her, help her to continue strong in her faith, trusting you. And we ask that you would help them to get the kind of assistance they might need so that their care is not tied to the house all the time. Lord, we're looking to you in this matter. We ask for healing. We trust in you to do your good will. Pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, guys. And young lady, appreciate that. As I was pondering this week what I'd be preaching on today, I'm going to title this the Facebook sermon. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I received it was a public post, so I have no problem reading what was out for God and everyone to see. But there were some other personal responses that went. But this particular person wrote the following. He said, I've never been one to put personal things on Facebook, nor have I had much faith in prayer in the last several years, but my dad had a stroke this morning, so any prayers would be appreciated. And I thought, how sad, because this person had asked me to pray specifically in a public arena on more than one occasion, and yet he didn't have the faith for prayer. And so my response to him in a private message was, I'll pray for you as well, for your faith to grow. He responded and he said, I've had a really rough 4 or 5 years. This year has been horrible. Last week, we moved my parents out of the house. I broke my foot the day before. I've had trouble with office help. My wife's uncle died suddenly. Lately, I feel that Job had it pretty easy. Thanks for the prayers. And I wanted to go right into chaplain mode or whatever you want to call it and just begin to minister to him. But I decided at that point in time, the best thing I could do for him is to just let him know that I was praying and to watch God move in the midst of what was going on. And so that's what I've done and watched other people post that they were praying for him as well. So seriously, as I was thinking, what should I talk about this morning? I specifically asked for the songs, and I began to look at the creed, and I began to look at what is it that we believe in? Who is it that we're praising? Why are we praising him? Because we are, some of us, in the midst of a storm. We are facing various different things that are far and above what we really feel comfortable with. And so what do we do? Where do we go when we're in those kind of circumstances? And I could ask any one of you, and you could come up with the spiritual answer, but sometimes we just don't feel it. We just don't feel like that's where it is. It was about 3 months ago, I think. Now, I'm not counting the days, but my dad passed away. And we were sitting in the funeral home, and my mom looked at us as the funeral director that I went to college with was starting to arrange the service. So my mom's kind of calling the shots. She does that. You and her have something in common, Deb. But anyway, they ended up, if she listens to this, I'll hear about it. But it ends up that she looks at Sandy and says, I want you to read the obit. And Sandy's eyes got real big and said, yeah, I don't think so. I can't do that, Carolyn. That's just not going to happen. And so then she looks at Noah and says, Noah, I want you to read the scripture. And Noah thought, well, I'm going to follow mom's lead. That ain't happening. Asked Toby if he'd play the guitar, and that worked out pretty good. He didn't make the video that they did of the service, but you can hear it at least. But he said yes. And then she looked at me and said, and you're leading the whole service. Now, I wanted to raise my hand and say, excuse me, that was my dad that died. What am I supposed to be doing leading the service at this point in time? But that wasn't going to work, I knew. And then the funeral home director mentioned, well, there is this one guy at this particular church. And I thought, I want the gospel preached at the funeral service. Okay, I'll do it. And I was like, okay, I jumped in. I'm ready to go. And then it came time to think, oh, I'm not just doing the funeral. I'm also doing the graveside service. And I thought, doggone it. It was my dad that died. I'm the one that needs the encouragement at this point in time. And I thought, that's not going to work. And where is it that we get our strength? Where is it that we get our comfort? Where is it that we get our encouragement? And it's from the Lord. And so I had to just say, okay, God, where do you want me to go with this? What do you want me to say? And so I did some traditional little graveside service verses. And then God gave me the passage from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 as my go-to verses. And ones that I have posted, I have held on to, and have been a constant encouragement to me for many, many different circumstances. And I thought of that because of Facebook. My wife has a good friend who's been, her husband has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and he's younger than I am. And their anniversary was this week. And he was supposed to pick her up at work. And 2 hours later, he hadn't done it. He just totally forgot. And I'm thinking, how horrible, how sad. And so I got these two things going back and forth in my head. And all I can think of is Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And so I shared that with her. And it'll be interesting because the final statement that I make today was written in her Bible after she read that particular passage. But let's look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. But let's pray. Father, these are your words. These are your comfort. These are your encouragement. And I pray that you will use them in the heart of each and every one of us today, that we can praise you, that we can have confidence in you in the midst of the storms of our life. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit or no food, and the flocks be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. He makes me tread on my high places. So in verse 17, we see there's no figs on the tree. We see that there's no fruit. We see that the fields have no food. We see that the flock has been cut from the fold. And even there at the end of the verse, there's no herd in the stalls. This gentleman has lost about everything. And the future is looking pretty bleak. There's nothing in the future that looks good. There's no work to do because there's nothing out there to do work for. He's going to be short of cash. Everything that could possibly go wrong at this point in time has pretty much done that. Now, if we were told tomorrow that our job was over with, if we were told that our house wasn't going to be able to be a supply place for our food, if we were told all these different things were going on, how would we respond? Everything's been cut down and cut back. In verse 18, we see the word yet. even with all these things that are going on, even though things look totally bleak, yet is the first word that just really sticks out for me. And the next phrase, I will. It's almost as if there's a stake in the ground. Yet I will. I'm determined. That stake is in the ground. I'm moving forward. Even though there's nothing out in the field, I'm moving forward. I'm walking on. I will, because of the stake in the ground, I will rejoice. Things are looking awful. Things are looking terrible. There's nothing out there. Yet, I will rejoice. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Isn't it nice when you're going through a hard time and someone sends you a nice little note and they send you this particular passage of scripture? It's like if you had a pie, you'd kind of like want to throw their face in it or something. But the reality is, when you look back at Habakkuk, it's a choice that we make. And in verse 18, we're to give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what's going on, we are to give thanks. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Then, if we turn back to James, the passage that we've looked at a little bit in the past, I think that might even have referred to this a little bit. Verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that your testing your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We are to rejoice in the midst of rough situations, in the midst of terrible situations. The next part, it says, the next word is in. What are we to be rejoicing in? I was asked to speak at, and I know you'll find this totally amazing because it ends up in every one of my sermons. I haven't got to evangelism yet, but this one does too. I was asked to speak at a banquet with all of the hockey teams from across our district. And not speak at it, I was asked to pray at it. But I was told that I wasn't to pray in Jesus' name because it might offend somebody. And I looked at the guy that told me that and I said, well, I got a problem because that's the name I pray under. That's who I pray to. And he chuckled and he goes, I understand, I know. And I said, I'll come up with something. Don't worry about it. So I get up there and I pray and I close the prayer. In the name that's above every name, I ask these things, that every knee will bow. I think he even added that part. We make a choice to pray in the next part, the Lord. And the bottom line is, he either is the Lord or he isn't the Lord. Is he a Lord of the situation that we face or isn't he? I was thinking this morning, God knew where Craig was going to be this morning. He also knew I'd be up here. I didn't know that. Craig didn't know that. But the Lord knew that. The Lord knew what was going to happen this morning. He knows what's going to happen in an hour from now. He is the Lord. He is the controller. He is the one who knows what's going on. And either he is the Lord in the situation we find ourselves in, or he isn't. Case in point, I wanted to put this in and now I know where I can put it. My mom is living on her own. She's got someone putting her in bed and getting her up right now and staying the night with her. And she has a lady that is the widow of my mom's best friend, my dad's best friend. And she's been coming and watering and doing different things for my parents over the last several months. Well, mom calls me up yesterday afternoon and says, I've got a crisis on my hands. Well, when my mom has a crisis, it's probably not a crisis. It's probably a mouse somewhere. And sure enough, it was a mouse. So the mouse is in her in front of her refrigerator in the mouse trap. And she's looking at it and she's thinking, I can't get to the waffles in the freezer because I can't get there because there's a mouse there. And she's not going to have anything to do with it. I've only heard my mom swear once and she was pointing. This is when I was a little kid. She was pointing. And she was trying to say something that ended up with a T on the end of it by accident. But case in point, bunny trail. But anyway, so here she is. She's freaked out by this. And I'm laughing. I'm just dying laughing because I'm not going to go 3 hours up there and remove a mouse and come back down here. she's going to have to figure this one out on her own. So she waits for this lady to show up who hates mice as much as she does. And so she gets the dustpan and she gets the broom. Guess what? The mouse was alive. So you have these two women hooting and hollering and screaming, you know, how scared they are about this little tiny mouse. And so they get it in the bag. And my mom says, it's still alive. It's still alive. So you got this other woman taking the dustpan and smack in the bag, trying to kill it. And, you know, she didn't want to step on it. She didn't want to feel that crunch under her feet, I guess. But what happens is, I'm thinking, you know, either God is in control of all circumstances and he knows what's going on. Because this lady looks and she goes, can't you just picture our husbands up in heaven just having a blast laughing about this? Which was great. I mean, I was laughing about it. I thought it was fantastic. So anyway, verse 18 at the very end of it, it says, I will rejoice in the Lord. Either he is the Lord or he's not. And I will take my joy in God of my salvation. Why is he going to take his joy? It's because of the salvation of our Lord. The songs this morning spoke so clearly of what God has done for us. The passage from Romans chapter 8 so clearly talk about how despicable we are and how we don't deserve salvation, and yet God has given us that opportunity through Jesus Christ to have that personal relationship with him. He is a God of my salvation. He's my hope. He's my future. He's my destiny. I can have confidence, no matter what the circumstances are, that he's going to see me, he's going to see us through what's going on. Verse 19, God, the Lord, is established. We know who he is. We're not going to doubt. We know that the Lord is God. Is, the next word. I have decided. I believe this. I'm not going to doubt it. I'm going to make a declaration. God is, and I'm going to stand by it. What is he? He's my strength. He is my strength. When you go through a hard situation, when you go through a difficult situation, God is our strength. Many of you that have attended here for quite a while know or knew Phil Taylor and knew Tracy Taylor. This is another Facebook story. There was a horrible, horrible accident on Silver Lake or on Highway 24 that took the life of three kids. A father and his son was critically injured. That particular gentleman that died in that had connections with Tracy and Phil, as well as a lady that I work with, as well as Nate Hill, who used to be a TV personality in here in town. Just tons of people that knew this gentleman. And as I began to talk with Nate, and he didn't know where he was at spiritually, and as I talked with the lady that I worked with, she wasn't too much interested in talking about him spiritually. She was more concerned about the fact that there was a loss and that kind of stuff and focused on that. But as I talked with Tracy, we saw her on the first Friday night. I said, yeah, I said, you must have known this guy. Oh, yes, he was a track coach for my daughter. He was incredible. She goes, in fact, I don't know if you remember this from Phil's funeral or not. And I thought, well, I'm not sure that I do. But Phil's testimony at a fundraiser for him for all the medical expenses, he sat and he just shared how one of his key things was, I know I have a death sentence, I just don't know when they're flipping the switch. But he knew that he was dying and he knew that he was going to be gone. He helped at Christmas time. He wasn't supposed to make it till Christmas. And he's laying on the floor out there putting the Christmas lights together. And I said, Phil, are you supposed to do that? And he looked at me and he goes, what, you think it's going to kill me? I'm like, that was Phil. Christmas Eve service, he wasn't supposed to be there. He was supposed to be dead. And he's sitting almost in the front row and I'm leading the service. And so we talked before we came out here. His attitude was so incredible and his testimony was so strong that this gentleman that just died was there at the park for this fundraiser. And the weekend of Easter when Phil went into hospice, this guy types out an email to Tracy. And the email basically said this. when I saw the joy and the hope that Phil had and was experiencing as he was going through this situation of certain death, I had to weigh my own life and where I was at. And I knew I wasn't right with the Lord. That night, I rededicated my life to the Lord. Phil's been gone for several years now. Phil had an impact on this person because of a horrible, horrible situation that happened in his life. What a difference a short period of time, or it's a long period of time. God is my strength. I think, too, of the times where I was leading a campus life club or and doing the Bible study, and I just didn't feel good. Maybe I had a head cold. Maybe allergies were making me spacey or whatever. But those oftentimes were the greatest meetings that I had, not because of me, but because of asking God to help in that situation. Those of you that were blessed to see Billy Graham, the last crusade that he had at Arrowhead Stadium, they had this time of prayer as he was coming up to the stage. Well, I mean, do we always keep our eyes closed during prayer? I know I don't. So I'm watching the stage as he's walking with a walker so frailly up to the podium. And he was kind of embarrassed, he said later on, because he had to sit down and he had the seat that went up and down so that it looked like he was standing at the pulpit. But I watched this frail person get up to the pulpit, and then I began to watch the energy come into this person's life, where God had just equipped him to preach like he always did. It was amazing. God is my strength. He makes. It's not us that gives us the strength to get through a situation. It's not us that has the power or the mind control to get through a situation. The Bible here says, He makes my feet like a deer, graceful and sure. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I do know that God will give me the strength because He's going to make me do that by giving me the strength to do it. In the next verse, it talks about, in 19, he goes on to say, He makes me tread on the high places. Now, I don't know how many of you have climbed a mountain. I've only climbed one, and that was good enough for me. I climbed it several times. I wouldn't get a fourth of the way up it now. But as I climbed up to the mountain, the oxygen and everything gets a little bit thinner. But also at the top of the mountain, there's usually boulders all over the place. And you have to place yourself to make sure that rock's going to stay there and hold you, now more so than maybe before, as you place yourself up to the top of the mountain, as you're going from one place to the other. It says, He makes me tread on my high places. God knows the unstableness to which we walk, but He places us step by step, foot by foot. And I think it's something that we need to remind ourselves of. He does it. It's not us. And so as I look at where the reason I shared this particular verse, or these verses, and I look at the fact that sometimes we face some really tough situations, and everyone that we do know at some point in time does face a tough time, we need to really seriously look at what is our testimony? What kind of influence can we have in those circumstances? How can we give the praise back to God? How can we allow Him to give us the strength to deal with the moment-by-moment situations that we find ourselves in? And as I mentioned to the lady earlier this morning, I gave her these verses as I was just trying to figure out what on earth would you say to this person? How in the world would you encourage her in the midst of this storm that she's facing? And one of the things I told her about these verses, and she said, "Thank you." She goes, "This was written in my Bible next to these verses. Faith and fear cannot exist in the same heart." Why do we struggle? Because we need faith. Why do we struggle? Because we're fearful. Are we going to put our faith in the God of our salvation? Are we going to put our faith in fear? Our closing song is "I Believe," and I think that this will fit real well with what we've talked about today.